thinking about sensuality and thinking about noticing, recognizing all this stuff. So is it just pure mental exercise, noticing, or is it body sensation also have a place to signal and to notice? Or is it just pure in the head?
Well, everybody's different. So wherever those qualities or those attitudes can be noticed, so sometimes it might be more obvious in physical sensation, sometimes it might be more apparent in terms of attitude or ideas. It's not just one dimension. I think wherever that quality of clinging can be discerned and noticed, and then can be highlighted, then to explore it in that area, whether it's as a thought or an emotion or a physical sensation, or how you judge the world or the people around you, how you think about your own life. Wherever you see that kind of clinging taking shape, and in whatever form, then that's a means of working and understanding it, if that's what you were asking. Everyone's different. So some people, if you talk about ideas and concepts, they go, what? That's like kind of meaningless to them, because they're feeling everything. Everything is in the world of sensation and feeling. And that somebody else might be, it's a landscape of emotion, and they're very much in as mental qualities of emotion, and they don't notice anything happening in their body at all, because their mind is filled with the mental qualities of emotion. Other people might be completely intellectual and think of everything in terms of kind of conceptual descriptions and formulae. So getting to know your own character and what the sort of the habits of mind and how your own system works is a large part of Dhamma practice. Everyone's different.
So do you try to follow, to find your sort of way and go fully there, or do you try to balance maybe the attitudes and... Well, if you're too much in your head, first.
Yeah, if...
Balance it, or you just, okay, I'm in my head, therefore I'm going to read it and through there.
Well, it's a balance. So each of us might have our own particular strong suit, as they say in using card games, a strong tendency. But if we only use what's our kind of most prominent attribute or habit, and we never use anything else, then we don't develop a range of skills. To step outside, if you tend to be very intellectual, then it can be very helpful to sit down and draw a diagram of what your current issue is with boxes and arrows between them. So that can be beneficial, because that's a medium that you live and work in. But then to also say, okay, well, that's one aspect of it. How does I feel this in my body? Are there any sensations with this particular area of activity? And so then it can be like, wow, my body, I didn't even notice that. I spent half the day not even noticing I have a body. Wow, look at that. And so bringing attention to that, well, I do have a body, you know, I'm living and breathing and I'm around. So let's see if I can notice what aspects of this appear in the body. Can I feel anything? So we recognize what a strong tendency in terms of our own character, our own conditioning, but to only stay within that and to not step out of that or to stretch ourselves in different areas, that can make things very, very limited. There was a book that was written by one of the senior monks, Ajahn Sujito, on meditation handbook, and he talks a lot about body energies. And it's very, very frequently referred to throughout the whole book. I think it's called Meditation, A Way of Awakening. Then the first edition had a spiral-bound thing. And so I was helping to proofread it and look at the draft of it. And I said, after I read it through, I'm not criticizing Ajahn Sujito at all, but I made the comment to him, I said, Ajahn, do you realize that some people never experience any feeling of energy in their body? It's just not something that they register. They might feel the weight of their body as they sit on a cushion or a chair, or the feeling in their feet as they walk along the ground, or they might have an ache in their stomach if they've got indigestion. But you know, the way that you speak in this book, it's kind of an assumption that everyone can feel the energy moving through the body in various ways. And with great respect, he kind of looked at me like, what are you talking about? And it was an interesting moment, because it's such a prominent and obvious thing for him, that the presence of body energies, and that is just like the force of gravity or breathing air, you know, that's kind of ordinary and automatic. And there was a sort of like, really? You know, how could that be? But I felt that at least some kind of reference in the book to that, not everybody might be able to feel it. When you talk about energy moving through your limbs or through up through your spine, it's like, for some people, that might not have any meaning. And it's like, I don't know if he really believed me. or that he kind of really took that in. It was kind of like, really? So I didn't read through any later revisions, but it was really striking how that was such an incredibly significant part of his world, that just the way he phrased things carried that implication. And so, but when I made that comment, it was like just saying, you know, some people don't need oxygen. It's like, what are you talking about? So anyway, it was a very interesting moment, that someone's world is so informed and something is so apparent, and somebody else's world is not there at all. Like some people are very non-conceptual. A verbal thought is just like, the mind just doesn't work in that way. It's all images. It's very graphic and textured in terms of visual imagery. But a thought as a word, it's like, strange idea. Somebody else is like, my brain thinks a lot in words. I'm a very verbal person, so when I would have a conversation with someone, I say, well, I don't really think in words, you know. Exactly the same, like Ajahn Sujito looked like, you don't think in words? How? What? So it's good to appreciate our own conditioning and stretch that from time to time.